So it was a normal school day. We'd got home from work, school, what have you. He'd been playing out with his friends. He'd come in later on, about seven-ish. All the normal things, schoolwork, got ready for bed. But he'd come in, when he'd come in, he'd complain that he'd got a bit of a headache, which was quite unusual for Lee, because I don't ever remember him ever having a headache. It was one thing he just... we'd never really had. He'd come in, got ready for bed, and you know what it's like, a busy mum, you're saying, come on, you just think, oh, it's one of those things, you'll be fine, let's give you some Calpol. Gave him some Calpol, and the headache just didn't seem to shift at all. In fact, it seemed to get a lot worse. So I think a little later on we gave him some ibuprofen. I can't remember if it was a few hours later, but I remember no sort of medication seemed to shift it at all. So at that point, we sort of decided we'd ring the GP, the out-of-hours GP. And they said they would ring us back shortly. Anyway, somebody did ring back about an hour later and asked what his symptoms were. And you know, as a parent, you do know sort of the symptoms of meningitis. Can you put your chin on your chest? Even then... you know, I did know the signs and symptoms, even though it was a long time ago. And at that point, Lee could put his chin on his chest. He had developed a little bit of a temperature, but he just got this really bad headache. So the GP had asked me all these questions, and I said, he can put his chin on his chest, but he's just got this really bad head, which isn't shifting. In fact, it's got worse. So he said, well, the on-call doctor was actually out at an emergency, but he would get to as soon as as he could. So we said that was fine. Anyway, I think it might have been about an hour and a half or so later, and Lee seemed to be getting worse. He was quite lethargic. He started being sick, and he seemed to be getting hotter. So we rang the out of hours again, and I think it by the time... we rang the out of hours again, and they said he was on his way, but you know, he would get there as soon as possible. However, if they felt we needed to, you could ring an ambulance. So we said, well, we'll hold on, you know. Anyway, the GP, I think it was around about 1 o'clock in the morning, yeah. Which by this time Lee was still being sick, and obviously it was hard to tell because he was fast asleep 1 minute, waking up being sick and then going back to sleep. So was it tiredness, or was it, you know, it's really hard when it's that time in the morning. But it was hot and we were worried, but as I say, he'd no rash, you know, the doctor came, gave him a good check over, and he mentioned he thought it could, he didn't want to rule out meningitis. You know, he said, I'm sending him in, I want him in hospital with suspected meningitis. He said, I think it'd be quicker if you take him through by car rather than wait for an ambulance. So, you know, we went straight through. But in them days, I mean, then he wasn't given an injection. Because nowadays, if they suspect meningitis, they give them the antibiotics there. And then, well, this is 19 years ago, so it wasn't as widely known about then. Mm. So he didn't, you know, he wasn't given any antibiotics. Anyway, we got through to Harrogate quite quickly. Ran in, they told us to go straight to Woodlands Ward and that they'd ring ahead to tell them we were coming, which we did. Steve dropped me off, I ran in with him. I think he threw up on the way in, ran down to the Woodlands Ward where the staff were waiting for us, and they gave him a good check over. But when we arrived at hospital, his headache had actually eased. I think, you know, it eased a bit, but it still got a really high temperature. In fact, his temperature was really high, and he was really lethargic still. But again, it was the middle of the night, you know, so the staff gave him a check over and thought, well, maybe it's just a virus rather than meningitis. So they decided not to do a lumbar puncture and just sort of monitor him overnight, which they did really closely. He didn't seem to get a rash. His headache did ease. And but he still had a temperature, so they'd got fans on him and they were, you know, sort of keeping a close eye on that. And then around about 20 to 6, they sent Steve home because, you know, they said he seems to be okay, you go home. So Steve went home, and then I think it was about 20 to 6 in the morning. He seemed to sit bolt upright in his sleep, but then slid off the bed. It was almost like, I don't know, it's some sort of seizure, I think. And I shouted for help. I just panicked because, you know, it was really strange what he'd done. And the nurses came, and I think he'd started to sort of have seizures. It was really strange. His movements were quite jerky and quite frightening. And I remember the nurse picking him up and running off with him. And it was at that point that they had to get the crash team, because he actually went into a deep coma. I think later on we found out that his brain had coned, which is where the brain swells and then it comes down the spinal column. And at that point, you know, he was critically ill. So I remember the crash team was there. And then we just had to wait. They sent for a neurology team from the LGI. They came through from Leeds to assess him. And, you know, they had a look at him, and then they came and had a chat with us, and they told us that, you know, it was really serious. They weren't sure at this point still what the problem was. They weren't sure what it was. They just know that, you know, he was in a deep coma. And that they were going to take him through to Leeds to do further tests, but they sort of did warn us that to prepare for the worst, that, you know, that they didn't think he would pull through. And then we had to go through to Leeds.
Mm.
And that's when they told us, you know, the news that it was meningitis that, you know, had got, but it was more the internal septicemia symptoms that he was displaying, so it wasn't as evident as your normal symptoms. You know, it's important not to look for the rash because it's not always visible. He didn't really get the rash until after he died. That came out, you know, after he died. But and his symptoms were in the norm. He had a headache, but then that eased. But then it was the middle of the night, so he was really lethargic. He'd got high temperature, the sickness. You know, that it was really difficult. The symptoms were so different, really, in his case, I think. But yeah, it's just so important to be aware of the symptoms, you know, the cold hands and feet, a high temperature, a bit like flu-like symptoms almost, cold hands and feet. I remember his hands and feet were cold. But, yeah, I think it's just so important to be aware, and I think trust your instincts as a parent. If you know your child's unwell, get them checked out. You know, if you know as a parent, I think.
Yeah, and it was, you know, long time ago, so not,
yeah,
you know,
it wasn't,
many people knew about meningitis, did they? But now it, lots more people do. But still people think of the rash, don't they?
Yeah, and don't wait for the rash.
It's so many more symptoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, it's really important not to just wait for that rash if you suspect, you know, anything like that. I mean, he didn't really, even the light, the lights didn't seem to bother him. But then we'd not really got the big lights on in the room. When he'd got the headache, we'd turn them down. And when you've got a headache, you don't like the lights anywhere. But to be fair, they didn't seem to bother him at that point, you know, when we did call the emergency doctor out. It was only when the doctor came out that he was so lethargic and sick and temperature and... But yeah, again, no rash.
Mm. Yeah, and it had such an, you know, and our family since then, whenever I was poorly and brother was poorly,
mum
and
so
dad
aware.
Had always, they'd go through the checklist, yeah, and they'd, you know, and it, every parent should do that anyway.
Definitely.
You know, my parents knew about, yeah, it because of what happened to Lee, but really everybody,
yeah,
that should be something that absolutely everybody
definitely
just knows about and goes through as well. You know, with this petition and the vaccine is there, but it's given to babies, but so important. It is. You know, it's given to older kids. Exactly. You know, he was eight.
Yeah. And he, yeah, it is. It's really important that all children have that opportunity to have it. And, you know, if you do get the chance to be offered that vaccination, please do take it. You know, there wasn't a vaccine around at the time for Lee. You know, and it, if it was now, you know, it could save somebody's life. And I think it just takes so many children each year. We hear it every year, meningitis. And it is a word that most parents dread. And you never think it's going to happen to you. You know, but I remember the meningitis people saying to us, it's like if you imagine the whole of Wembley being filled, the chances of you catching it is one in that whole of Wembley arena. So it is a slim chance, but it does happen. And if we can protect our children, you know, then it should be widely available for all children.
Yeah, and it's one of those horrible things that just strikes like anybody. Like Lee was just so full of life, so bubbly, just like so healthy, and you know,
it's just
luck, isn't it? Yeah, and luckiness. But yeah, if there's anything we can do to protect, need to do it.